I've got a victory living inside of me. I got the greater one. I can overcome. This ain't no time to turn back, no place to grow slack. I gotta keep pressing on till every battle is won.
Good morning, class. Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School's the place where my spirit is fed, where my faith grows stronger, and where I learn how to be an overcomer. Regardless of what you might be dealing with today, the answer is faith in God. I don't even have to know what's going on. I know that's the answer. It doesn't get too big or too hard for the Lord to help you with. All things are possible with Him, but it's possible to those who believe. And so faith is a choice. There's a lot to be learned about it, but it's a choice to simply trust. Simply choose to trust God. And you can trust Him to help you because of your revelation and conviction of His nature, even if you have no idea how He could help you or how He would or how there is a way of help. You can just trust in His, that He's there, that He's real. You can trust that He can do it. He has the ability and power, and that He cares about you. Amen. Amen. And He's a faithful God. See, that's something you can choose to believe when you don't know anything else about how to deal with your situation. You can still have faith. Amen.
Amen.
So everybody said out loud, Father God,
Father God,
faithful Lord,
faithful Lord,
I choose to trust you today.
I trust you.
I trust your wisdom. I trust your power, and I trust your graciousness and goodness and love for me. Thank you in advance for helping me and bringing me out of every problem, every trial, giving me victory in everything to your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, we've been on a series for a number of weeks now that we're calling Faith for Provision. And like we've said before, even though faith works the same in any area, it's not developed the same. You can have strong faith that you're saved and going to heaven and have no faith to be healed. Or no faith. You could have strong faith to be healed, but no faith to get your bills paid. And that would come back to what you have heard and what you have fed on and what you have been around and been exposed to. Sadly, in a lot of churches, things are preached and taught that are contrary to the Word of God. Things along the line that, well, it just, you know, we don't know why God has seen fit for you to go through this cancer or go through this disease or this problem. We don't know why God has seen to it, you know, that you've lost everything and gotten, you know, kicked out of your place to live and all this. But just remember, you know, God has a purpose and everything's working out for the good. That's not true. I said, that's not true. I want to say it again real slow. That's not true. Yeah, everything works for the good. No, no, no. You're leaving out all kind of scripture and even the rest of that half verse that you're quoting. Romans 8, where it says, you know, that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to His purpose. Everybody doesn't love God. Everybody's not pursuing His plan and purpose for their life. And so, no, everything's not working out for their good. And And people say, well, God has a purpose in everything. No, God is not even involved in a lot of things. He's not even in it at all. People say, well, I just believe that there's a reason. Yeah, the reason could be that you missed God and you didn't listen and you didn't believe him. But that doesn't make it the will of God. Come on. God is not the problem. He has never been the problem. He's the answer. I said he's the answer. But you got to come to him with some humility and with some trust and say, you know, my father in the faith prayed this often, and I pray it over myself too. I say, Father, you know, that which I've not seen, show me. That which I've not understood, reveal to me and prepare us for what you've prepared for us. What does that mean? I'm acknowledging I know I don't see everything. I know I don't understand everything. And that can be why you've made some mistakes and why God's perfect will hasn't been done in your life. If you want God's perfect will in your life, you've got to do his perfect will. They are connected, right? In the plan is the provision, is the blessing, is the help. God's not obligated to bless and support and help just anything we decide to do. He's not following us. We're supposed to be following him, right? What do you think? What do you think? So we've been going one by one through 30 reasons why we are sure that abundant provision is always God's will for us all. And our first one was, the Lord's my shepherd. Then we talked about the goodness of God. Then we talked about the fatherhood of God. Then the creation of God. God's will in heaven. We talked about the God Abraham knew, the God of Abraham. We talked about the seed of Abraham, which we are, and the blessing that belongs to us. We talked about the blessing of tithing. The Lord didn't say, bring all the tithe into the storehouse and be broke. Did he? Now, no, you laugh when I say that, but come on, people are saying that. They're people, whether they come right out and say it like that or not, they're implying that it's possible that you might seek God and obey him and put him first and tithe and give offerings, and still it be his will for you to just barely scrape by your whole life for mysterious reasons we don't understand. That's inconsistent with the Bible, right? Because he said, if you'll do this, I'm going to do this for you, right? If you'll do this, this is what's going to happen after that. So we need to stop looking around here at what we have seen and heard and felt and experienced or haven't experienced and deciding that this is telling us what's God's will. No, he told us what his will is. Amen. Go directly to him. That's why the scripture says, for we walk by faith, what? Not by sight. And see, millions of church-going people are walking by sight because they're assuming that if it happened, it must have been the will of God. If it didn't happen, it must not have been the will of God. No, you are being misled. You are being confused. Don't do that. Go to the Word. The entrance of his Word gives light. Hallelujah. It gives understanding to the simple. And so we're looking at these reasons, and we've gotten down now to our 13th reason, and it has to do with the names of God. And one of his great names is Jehovah. And that is the self-existent one, the God of our salvation. And then he adds names with it, like our last one we looked at was Jehovah Nissi and Jehovah Shammah. Well, that means the self-existent one, the God of our salvation, who saves, who gives us victory, who's always there, right? And so what we're saying is when God has revealed something like this, this is an eternal, unchanging thing. It's in agreement with what Moses heard out of the burning bush, I am. Well, nobody has a right to say that I am was. And yet, That's exactly what a lot of people are implying. You'll hear people say, well, yeah, you know, he used to do miracles. He used to heal. But when the full canon of Scripture came in and the last apostle died and all that ceased, well, did God change? What happened? He used to be big on it. And now he doesn't care? Yeah, no. See, truth is perfectly consistent, never changes. Lies and misconceptions cannot be consistent by nature of what they are. The more you examine them, the more holes you find and the more inconsistencies you find. So these doctrines about it might not be God's will for you to pay your bills this month. It might be God. Where's that at in the Scripture? Which name of God revealed to us? The God who wants to see you late. Huh? The God who wants to see you behind. The God who wants... No, you can't get that out of any of these names. We saw the Lord Almighty. Hallelujah. El Shaddai. We saw El Elyon, the Most High God. Amen. All of these, Jehovah Nissi, the Lord, our victory, our banner. And in every one of them, we can see, without trying hard, you can see abundant provision in every one of them. So going on today, we looked, like I said, El Shaddai, El Elyon, Jehovah Emkadesh, Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer, Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner or our victory. Somebody say, thank you, Lord. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. Why would you think the Lord being with you is going to hurt you financially? Right? I mean, how do you... to twist your mind around to somebody says, well, man, why are you broke all the time? Because of Jehovah Shammah? Because the Lord's always with me, keeping me broke? Now you're shaking your head. But, it either is or it isn't. It either is His will sometimes for you to be broke, or it's never His will for you to be broke. Huh? Now, I've been broke before. Right? But that didn't prove it was God's will. I've done some other stuff before that wasn't God's will. Right? Just because I did it, just because I experienced it, doesn't make it God's will. But thank God I've also seen some light and thought, I'm going to quit doing that. I'm not doing that anymore. I want to go with Him, and I can tell you from experience, the Lord being with me has not brought me down. It has brought me up. It has lifted me and continues every day and year to lift me higher. Oh, thank God, He is with me. Oh, somebody say, the Lord is with me. The Lord is with me. This is one of these Jehovah names that will never, ever change. Let's go on to another one today. And boy, this is a great one here too. Jehovah Shalom. Woo, don't you? Just like the sound of that, don't you? Yes. The Jehovah Shalom, it means the Lord is peace. Mm-hmm. Or the Lord my peace. The Lord is peace. But now that word translated peace, it's the word shalom in the Hebrew. It means more than we think in our modern English vernacular. And I'm going to talk about it a bit. Go with me to Judges. The sixth chapter, and we'll see one of the times that it's used in Scriptures. Judges 6 and 4, the Midianites were enemies of the Israelites, and they were oppressing them, and they had come up against them, the Midianites and the Amalekites. Verse 4, they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth till you come to Gaza and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor ass. They came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude, and they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it, and Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. Well, you know, if poverty is good, they should be thanking God. Huh? Why be so upset? Because you're impoverished. Because poverty is bad. It's always bad. Being broke is bad. Always bad. There is no upside. There's no way that poverty is a blessing in disguise or otherwise. It's never been a blessing. It will never be a blessing. It's a curse. This is the effect of their enemies stealing from them. And the Bible, Jesus said, you know, about the enemy in John 10:10. He said, the thief doesn't come unless he's coming to do what? Steal and to kill and destroy. But Jesus said, but I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. The Amplified says that you might have life and live life to the full until it overflows. Woo! Have and enjoy life to the full until it overflows. But come on now, who's stealing? Is it God or the enemy? Why do I keep asking these questions? Because millions of Christians will try to tell us bad things happened. You know, here came a storm, here came a wind, here came a hurricane, here came a fire, whatever it was, and destroyed everything. And people say, well, I just don't know why God did that. Did he do it?
No.
Why would you assume that he did it? And if he really did it, you should rejoice in it. But you shouldn't rejoice in it. Because he didn't do it. And he's not in it. Jesus said, the thief comes. Is the Father the thief?
No.
Is Jesus the thief?
No,
no, there is a thief.
Yes.
There's an adversary.
Yes.
There's an evil one. Arrayed against you. And the Bible didn't say cooperate with him. He said resist him.
Yes.
Right? Resist him.
Yes.
Resist him. Stand against him. Resist him and he will flee from you. No, this is telling us this is bad. And the reason it's so bad, let's keep reading. Verse 7, it came to pass when the children of Israel cried to the Lord because of the Midianites, the Lord sent a prophet to the children of Israel, which said to them, when you're in trouble, that's what you ought to do. Cry out to God, Lord, help us. And a lot of times he will send a message to you. He will send a word through messengers to you. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt. I brought you forth out of the house of bondage. I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all that oppressed you and drave them out before you and gave you their land. I said, I'm the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but you have not obeyed my voice. There is the problem. Right? Why have they got poverty? Now see, we talked about Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner and our victory. And in that case, we saw the people listen to God and their enemies were crushed. But in this case, the people have not obeyed the Lord and the enemy beat them. And now the enemy's flag is flying over their camp and the enemy has stolen all their food and all their stuff and they're greatly impoverished because that was God's mysterious will.
No,
no, it's because you did not obey my voice. Now, this is a big deal. People everywhere are blaming God for things that's the result of their disobedience. Suffering for their own faults and mistakes having nothing to do with the will or the plan of God. If that's the case, it's time to repent. Not time to go, I don't know. And people actually get mad at God. God, why are you doing this to us? Did he do it? You got to back up. You're asking the wrong questions. God's not the problem. He's the answer. Verse 11, an angel of the Lord came and sat under the oak. Gideon was threshing wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. Food is so tight. They've stolen all the food. You had to watch when nobody else was around. And if you could make a little wheat off of your land that they didn't steal, then you have to thresh it and process it secretively, undercover, looking around. Hoping nobody hears you threshing. This is not blessing.
No.
And That's what he's doing, hiding it. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you." Now that's one of those names, right? We're talking Jehovah Shammah. He said, "Jehovah Shammah, you mighty man of valor." And when he said that, Gideon did this. He went, "Where is he? The mighty man of valor. Where is this guy?" Do you know that's the case with us again and again?
Yes, sir.
Huh? The Lord is saying things about us, and we're going, "Who in the world is that?" It's you, brother. It's you, sister. Oh, God has said good things about us. And he can say it because he can do it. If he says you are this, don't argue with him. Don't check how you feel. Remember who you're hearing, who's talking to you. He has the ability. He calls those things that be not as though they were. And when he says you mighty man of valor, you need to go, "Yeah, okay, that's me," right? And you, even if your knees are bumping together, you need to go, "That's me. I'm a mighty man of valor." You know, I've learned this over the years. I say things over myself. We're all human, you know. There are times you might not feel as confident as others. But when I do, I'll say, "The Lord has made me an able minister of the New Testament." I'm not bragging on myself. He said that. Come on, you see, you understand what I'm saying? He said that. And Jesus would say, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me." Hallelujah. That's a good thing for every one of us to say. The Spirit of the Lord is with me. The Spirit of the Lord is on me. He's anointed me. He's made me able. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And the strongest faith is that you say it boldly when you don't feel like it. And you don't look like it. And your track record doesn't look like it. That's faith, because you're not walking by sight. And you're not walking by feeling. And all you're doing is agreeing with him. That's it. If he says it, then you say, "Yep, that's right, Lord. You said it, I am." Gideon said, "Oh, my Lord." And I guess that's where that came from. "Oh, my. Oh, my Lord. If the Lord is with us, why has all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles, which our fathers told us of?" Said, "Didn't the Lord bring us from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." Now, why did that happen? Tell me again. You got to look back at verse 10, because you did not listen. You would not obey. You refused to listen to the Lord. And so then, I won't look at it, but he said, "Go in this your might, and you will save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent you?" We won't go into all of that, but after this experience with the angel, and he brought up an offering, and verse 23, the Lord said to him, "Peace to you, fear not." Hadn't we heard that before? "You shall not die." And Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. Was he needing some peace?
Yes.
Everybody was scared. Everybody was hiding. Everybody was impoverished and stripped and beaten and defeated. And God had to tell him and put valor and strength into him with his words, because he was broken and hiding and scared, and they all felt powerless because of their sins, their rebellion, and the whole country had gotten away from God, wouldn't listen to God. But this revelation came to Gideon, and he built an altar, and he called it Jehovah Shalom. And this is one of God's compound redemptive names that never changes, that he exists forever. Everybody say Jehovah Shalom. Can God give you peace and put strength in you and hope in you in the darkest of situations, in the bleakest and worst of situations? Somebody said out loud, Jehovah Shalom.
Jehovah Shalom.
The Lord is peace.
The Lord is peace.
Is with me.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You know, that's something Jesus said. You know, he said, "My peace I give you. Not like the world gives, give I you. My peace Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The very peace the Master walked in himself is available to us and given to us. Said out loud, I walk in peace.
I walk in peace.
I walk in shalom.
I walk in shalom.
Now this word shalom, it's big. It covers a lot. It includes a lot of things. Covers a lot of things. It's also translated the same word in the same King James Bible. Shalom is translated safe. Many times is translated safe. Well, peace and safety. Can you see the connection? It's also translated good health. Right? Well, you know, when you're sick and you're hurting, you're distressed, you're not in peace. And you know, the Lord had, for instance, the woman with the issue, he said, go in peace and be whole of your plague. No more stressing about the disease. No more wrestling with the pain. Somebody say peace.
Peace.
The same word shalom is translated well off. To be well off. The same word's translated prosperity. Same word. Prospering. And so when he says Jehovah shalom, he said Jehovah safety. Jehovah well off. Jehovah prosperous.
Amen.
Jehovah good health.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And you know, this is a greeting. Shalom. Mm-hmm. And when you said shalom, you know, Star Trek didn't invent.
Right.
You know, live long and prosper, whatever. when you say shalom, you said all that. And a whole lot more. Right? You said peace to you. Good health, prosper, be safe, be well off.
Yes.
Glory to God.
Glory to God.
And the Lord has said, I am the Jehovah well off.
Yes.
I am Jehovah safety for you.
Yes.
I am Jehovah good health and prosperity.
Yes.
I am. Yes. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Well, when did that change? It has never changed. It never will change. And I'm out of time again. Everybody said out loud, I live by faith. I walk by faith. I overcome the world by faith. I'm strong in faith, giving glory to God. Until I see you again, shalom, peace, welfare, safety, good health, prosperity be on you. We'll see you soon back here in Faith School.
I've got the victory living inside.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.